Let's try this again. Okay, Perichav Gimel Pasachav Gimel. Perichav Gimel Pasachav Gimel. MS Kenevi Al Timka the Pasik says the person should acquire MS and should not sell. And then the Pasik has three words that are loose. Chachma Umusar Uvina. Wisdom. Musar is betterment, is a refinement. Vina is deep understanding. It's interesting that the word Musar is sandwiched between Chochma Ubina. We always put the two together. Chochma Bina Vodas. Chochma is the basic knowledge. Bina is made the Mitochdava. Here it's telling us a little bit of a secret. And in order to progress, to go from Chochma to a deeper understanding of Bina, Maven Da Mitochdava, a person needs to work on himself. He needs Musar. It's a very powerful concept. We don't know. There's a nice little secret over here that Musar is the secret to advance in Chochmah. Okay, so Mitzudas again told us the very basic. He said we will read the words of the Mitzudas again. Ms. Kinei Lemod Torah, study Torah b'sochar. At times, a person has to pay money, has to hire a rabbi to teach him Torah. Im loy matzasa, lil moed b'chinuch. If you can't find, you can't afford to find learning to acquire knowledge for free. The im kol ze al timko lulamda la'acherim. Person should not say that since I acquired my Torah knowledge through money, I have a right to charge people for what I know, to teach for money. Ki im limod b'chinuch. Shlomo said it's not proper. Don't take advantage and don't. Project the suffering that you experience upon others. Teach other people b'chinam for free. You know, today Baruch Hashem, live in a generation where you go online, the Torah that's available for free is infinite. Years ago it wasn't like that. Years ago you want to hear Shir Daf Yomi, you got to pay money. No such thing as free as a free share. Today the online there's no limit. Well, you what's good? There's so much. There's so many shurim. You need someone to tell you what to listen to. You know, it's very interesting. I find it to be very, very helpful. What's his name? Gil's student. Hirhurim. He has, every so often, there's a person, his name is Rabbi Rich, Mr. Rich, I don't know who Joel he is, Rich. Joel Rich. So he, every so often, he posts, he's one of his contributors, he posts what he finds to be some of the best things that are available online, the new shiurim that have recently been uploaded to all the various websites. He gives you a good 10-20 hours worth of stuff, and some of his stuff is actually fantastic. And if you'd go to these websites yourself, you'd be lost. You go to YU's website every single day. You have a 1,000 hours of new shiurim uploaded. What's good? It's all good, but what is something that's really unique? And it's very, very good. I go there often to see what he recommends to listen. You only have limited time to listen in the car or here and there, and he has very good recommendations.
What website?
Hirhurim. Musings. Gil student. Look for. Okay, so we have over here this concept. Let's look here. Rashi. Rashi says Emes Kenevi Imloy Timsa. Rashi says the same thing as the Mitzudos Imloy Timsa Lulmoy Bechinuf. A person cannot find someone to teach him Torah for free. Pasuk Lulmod B'Sochar. You should hire a rebbe to teach you for money. Ve'al Taimar. And then the pasuk says Al Timkar. Don't abuse the gift that you have received. Al Timkar. Do not charge other people for what you know. The same way I only acquired my knowledge through money, I will teach others only if they pay me. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim. The first midrash from this pasuk, we have a halacha that a person is a very big problem for klei kodesh. Anyone that is a rebbe, a rav, anyone that serves in a rabbinic position. The pasuk says beferish, v'al timkar. You're not allowed to charge for teaching. So how is a Rebbe to make a parnasa? How is a 5th grade Rebbe to make a parnasa? How is a 10th grade Rebbe? How is a Rav? What? So Enoch and Amis. So the place can give us the answer. It's a very big problem. And we learn, in fact, the Medrash says that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taught him for free. Moshe Hashem did not charge Moshe Rabbeinu did not charge him for teaching him the Torah. Hashem Moshe went up to Shemayim and Hashem gave him the Torah for free. And that's the model that likewise we also should follow in Hashem's ways and should teach Torah for free. But if that is correct, how then will we have mechanchim to teach children if they are not going to be paid a salary with benefits, life insurance, health insurance, v'chulu v'chulu? So one answer is, if you're dealing with children in elementary school, you're not paying the Rebbe for teaching Torah, you're paying him for babysitting. It's not a joke. That's what the place can say. You're paying him for babysitting. And you should know the truth is that's really pretty much what he does. How much already you ask a child when he comes home from Yeshiva, so what did you learn today? And you'll be shocked to discover they really did not learn very much. They don't learn very much, and it pretty much is a babysitting service with a good environment, a Turdic environment. Unfortunately, that's the way the real world is. So you're really paying the Rebbe for babysitting. The other answer is you pay for schar b'tela. You're not paying him for the teaching. You're paying him that if I would not be teaching, I would get a job. I would do something, whatever he'll do. He'll go to school, become a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, architect, a contractor, I don't know, whatever skill, computer program, whatever he likes to do, he'll do. So you're not charging, the Rebbe's not charging for the teaching of the Torah. That is not permitted. You're charging for you have to compensate me for not seeking employment, not seeking parnasa. And there's a nafkamina in the article. There's a fascinating discussion on this point. There's a nafkamina between these two, between this idea. Are you being paid for what you're doing? Okay, so let's say you'll say being paid for babysitting service. You can't say that for a Beis Medrash Rabbi or high school Rabbi because at the age, they don't need babysitting services. So there, what are you paying them for? What are you paying them for in a Beis Medrash? What? Because psychologists, you're paying them for, I don't know what you're paying, I don't know exactly. Even Rabbanim, what are you paying a Rav for? What are you paying a Rav for? A referee, it's to being a psychologist. Today Rabbanim are social workers. That's really what Rabbanim has turned into today. Out of town, it's a social worker. In your law, if you have a fortune to be in a stronger community where all of the social services are handled by the experts, then the Rav can devote himself to his specialty. But he's not allowed to charge for teaching Torah, for giving shiurim. So the nafkamina, so when he's paying for schar b'tela. So the nafkamina between these two opinions is, does the Rav get paid in advance, or does the Rav get paid upon delivery of services? In the world that we work in, the world that we live in, you only get paid after you finish the day. You get paid, you work, and there's a goodwill, you have faith that your employer will pay you when the day is over, when the week is over, the month is over. So you work in advance, and he pays you after you complete your service. Cash on delivery. When it comes to teaching Torah, it's the same thing. If you're being paid for the service of teaching Torah, for babysitting, taking care of the children, or giving guidance, whatever you're doing, so first you provide the service, and then when the month is over, then you'll receive your check. But if you're being paid for schar b'tela, the place can say it's proper to pay in advance. Because I would now, if I did not have this opportunity, I would seek employment. I would go to school, I would do something. I would go, who knows what I would do. I would do something. So I'm not going to do this. So I should be available to teach Torah to these students. So that would require the employer to pay in advance for the schar that I'm not going to seek employment. This is how, it's a little bit, you have to really finesse this concept, but that's what the Pesukim said, that would be a very big nafkamina. And indeed, this is a famous story. It was reminded from it in the footnote in the article Mishlei, that this used to be the custom in Germany. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, they was paid in advance. He was paid quarterly. Every 3 months, he was paid for the next 3 months. Because they pay, they follow this pshita, that a Rav is not paid for his service. Ma, ani b'chinam, afatem b'chinam, Hashem taught Torah for free. Therefore, you as a Rav, your main role as a Rav is supposed to be a teacher of Torah. Today, that's not what a Rav is, but that's what a Rav traditionally was. He was the one that taught Torah, and he's being paid schar b'tela. And to show it's schar b'tela, he was paid in advance, and the custom was every 3 months. So Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, who was such an honest person, he was afraid that he would die before he finished his term, and they would have already paid him in advance for 3 months, and he would not finish out the term. Okay, they didn't have early retirement in those days. You died on the job. So he was concerned. And I don't know the details, but he told us, I don't know the exact details, but it was known that this bothered him very much. And Hashgacha Pratis had it that he died on December 31st. He died the last day of the term. And people who were close with him, no, not even one day. It was complete. He completed his duty. So they took this as a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale the ratza, and this bothered him to no end. They should be taking money in advance and he may not fulfill his term. And he died on the last day of his term. That's a fascinating. Today, I don't think it's like that at all. In all the shuls, Rabbanim get paid after, as far as I know. What? What?
They're always complaining that
they don't even pay him. They don't, if they pay him, if they pay him on time. What? Yeah, I mean, obviously there are ways around it. But still, he was lefnim mishur sadin. He felt that he should not be taking money for his service. And most Shabbanim today are independently wealthy. And not most, but you look around in the neighborhood. Okay, you look around in the neighborhood. Go look case by case. Anyone that has to come on to Rabbanis of a parnasa is in a lot of trouble. A lot of people do Rabbanis level. Most Rabbanis are part-time Rabbanis where they have a hobby. It's a hobby, and they have income from other sources. All right, everyone, every shul, you can't generalize. Every shul and every rub is different. Okay, let's go to, so this is one interpretation of MS Kneb. There's no interpretation of MS Kneb Al Timkar. There are four words in this pasuk. This MS, this Chachma, Musr, and Bina, there are four words, and the four words correspond according to the Gra to Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And the Gra explains that's why they're broken up into two parts. MS is associated with MS Kinei, and the other parts, Chochma, Musar, Bina, is a separate section of this pasuk where we focus on the Al Timkar. And the reason why we break it up and we emphasize the person should acquire MS, the Iker is Pshat. A person should realize, MS is Pshat. This is the literal, the simple interpretation of the pasuk, the simple interpretation of the Mishnah, the simple interpretation of a piece of Gemara. This is critical. For this, the pasuk has to put it in a category by itself, kinei. Do anything that you possibly need to do in order to acquire this knowledge. When it comes to drush, remez, sod, these deep philosophical insights into the Torah, you can put it on a back burner. That's not so critical. That, when you get around to you, you'll acquire it. If the Rebbe is charging too much money to teach you the soul, to teach Kabbalah, so you know what? Maybe it's not Kedah. You can spend, the money can be spent on other things. But when it comes to MS is in a category by itself. We allude to the fact that the person should acquire and should not charge other people by grouping all four. But it's interesting how the group puts these four different concepts. Pardes, Pshat, Remesh, Drus, Sod. He matches it up with MS, Pshat, Chochma, Choruz is I'm not sure which, how he matches up. Reish is Remes. I'm not sure how he matches this up. But this is what these things allude to. Okay, another. Another idea is Emes Kinei. This is just not. It's a very simple idea. Is that Emes costs money. To be honest, Emes doesn't just mean Torah. MS also means to be honest, and to be honest, it costs money. For example, I know a certain person, he'll never pay in cash, because the rule is always, if you pay in cash, there's no tax. If you give me a credit card, it's on the books. If you give me a check, it's on the books. I have no choice. I have to charge you tax. So is it ethical? So, listen, I don't know. I don't want to get into trouble, but we all know what goes on out in the world, and there are people that are very ethical and they refuse. No, I'm an honest person, and the Mekayim, what it says in this pasuk, that if you want to be an ish MS, kinei, it costs money. I have to charge 8%, 9%, whatever it is. You have to pay the tax. Well, you got to pay the tax. Okay. To be honest cost money. And a person should realize you're not being that's how it is. MS Knevi al Timkar.
You collect sales taxes and you pay it? I
told them, a number of them, we collect sales. Okay. You have to pay it to the government to get it. Collect. Okay, he. The article, he brings a story. He says that the Shlah's technique in Chinuch Habanim, he would reward his children with money when they were honest. Instead of giving them treats, whenever he discovered that they had an asayon and they were honest, that was the way he was machanech his children. He rewarded them by giving them gifts. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Chavdalid. Pasuk Chavdalid. There's a lot of krivich sivs and pasuk that's hard to read. Let me read it from this pasuk because the krivich sivs in this sefer are a little messed up. Okay, the pasuk says, "Gil yogil avi tzadik v'yoleid chacham yismach bo." The pasuk is broken up into two parts. We have the tzadik and we have the chacham. In the Haggadah, there are dalet banim. There is no tzadik. There is a chacham. We associate the picture books depict the chacham as the tzadik, but that's not necessarily true. The tzadik doesn't ask questions. Well, the tzadik. That's one interpretation. The tzaddik, he's at the seder. There are only five children at the seder, or there are six children. This child doesn't come to the seder. And then there's a child, the rosh, at least there's a madrega. At least he comes to the seder. That's also a nice madrega. But in the Megillah we have the chacham, which many interpret to mean is a wise guy. The chacham is a wise guy. He's a shomer Torah mitzvos, but he's not necessarily a tzaddik. In this pasuk, indeed, we break the two into different categories. We have the chacham and we have the tzaddik, and we associate the concept, the expression of gil. Gil is joy, a very high level of joy, with the tzaddik, and we have the word simcha with the chacham. So the question is, why do we associate these one with the other? So, okay. So the simple answer given is that gil means a burst of joy. It's something that cannot be sustained. Every once in a while, you hear some good news. You're filled with extra joy, but over time, it subsides. Simcha is a sustained, a consistent form of joy. A child that is a chacham, that means he. This is what he is. He's a wise child. He has chachma. He has. He's been educated. He has the tools available. It provides the parents with a continuous level of simcha. They are secure. They know their child will be okay. Will live a good life. Will make the right decisions because he has the tools he needs to deal with life. But a tzaddik, no one's a tzaddik all the time. A tzaddik va'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheta. The tzaddik means there is an isayon. No person passes every test. Sometimes you pass the test and sometimes you don't pass the test. So when you pass the test, that's a moment of gil. Now I have an extra boost, a boost of joy. Someone injected me some adrenaline. I'm happy. But who says tomorrow I'm going to be oimed bin nisayon? So when the father hears that his child had an nisayon and overcame the nisayon, the father is filled with gil, with joy. Today I'm happy, but I'm still worried. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Chochma, if the child is a wise man, he's a wise person. Simcha, the father has a sustained joy because he knows his child will always be successful. That's the gist. There are a lot of interpretations of the pasuk, but I think that's the common denominator of all the various ideas. Let's see first now the Mitzudos pasuk Chav Dalid. Gil Yogil Avi Tzadik. The Mitzudos pasuk Chav Dalid. All these goes on the second pin. The Yoyled Chacham, one who gives birth to Chacham, Hamayled as a Chacham, Rav Sulaimar, Hamelamed, Umayled Chachma, Belev Talmid, a person that teaches Chachma in the heart of a student. The father, Yismachbo, the father takes great joy in this child. Now, for whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure, but for whatever reason, this pasuk, according to the Medrash Tanchuma, is interpreted specifically in reference to Yitzchak. When Yitzchak was born, a baskel came forth from Shemaim and said, Gil Yogil Avi Tzadik. that Avraham will rejoice over the birth of this tzaddik, and of the Yoilid Chacham Yismach Bo, the one that gave birth to the Chacham, again referring to Avraham, will have great joy in him. Yitzchak was called both a Chacham and a Tzaddik. And we know the expression of Gil Yagil that alludes to Tzchik. The reason why he's called, maybe that's why the Medrash interprets the pasuk in reference to Yitzchak, because his whole name represents Simcha. Tzchik Asali Elokim Kol HaShemaya Yitzchakli. The whole name of Yitzchak means joy. Gil is a form of Tzchik. It's a form of Tzchik. So seemingly that's why the Medrash says that this pasuk was fulfilled in reference specifically to Yitzchak Avinu. Okay, now another interpretation of this pasuk refers. That's already jumping ahead to the next pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Hey Yismach Avicha V'Imecha V'Sogel Yeladetecha. What? Oh, so the Kriya V'Chsiv.
You have more than half the pasuk.
Yeah, so I didn't see very much. They said, what does it mean? Gilgil means to roll. Goal means to roll. The drasha is goal your goal. Goal your goal, Avi Tzaddik. The father of the Tzaddik rolls. It means he's mobile. I think I did see an interpretation. Now it comes back to memory that a Tzaddik brings his father in Olam HaEmes mobility.
Goes to a better place.
That when a person does a mitzvah in this world, when a person has an Nisayin, his own Nisayin, is you give an aliyah to the neshama. The neshama, he rolls. We don't know how it works up there. They have cars and wheels are moving, but
Galgal.
It goes from one madrega to another madrega. So an upgrade. So a father, that's why we have the word gil. Gil literally means, without the vav, it's gil. Gil means joy. But there's a vav in these two words. Gol. Gol means to roll. Means to be mobile. Mobility, to move. Gol your gol avi tzaddik. When a person has a child who is a tzaddik, he's guaranteed that in the next world he will continuously move from one madrego to another madrego in the merit of his child. But if a person only has a chacham, a child that's a wise man, very good, the father has simcha. Right. But it doesn't give the father mobility in the next world. A person's child wins a Nobel Prize, very good. The father has, there's no greater nachas. But it's not going to necessarily bring him to a new madrega in Olam HaEmes. A person who wins the Nobel Prize, a world famous person, he made a big difference in the whole world is a different world. But a person's in his basement, and no one is watching, and he has an Nisayon, and this person, between him and Hashem, he's Oymei L'Shem Shamayim, he's Oymei Bin Nisayon, it's not going to make the headlines, no one's going to know about it, the world will go on like nothing ever happened, but he did an act that's a very great Kiddush Shem Shamayim. He's a tzaddik. That person's father in the next world will have mobility, will go to a new madrega. And the same moment when this person is all alone in the basement, does not do an avera, his neighbor wins the Nobel Prize, and he also has, that person also has a father in Olam HaEmes, he's not going anywhere. And the two people in Shemaim are looking at each other. Why are you going to the next madrega? And when your son is sitting in the basement, and my son won the Nobel Prize, and I'm going nowhere. Teretz is, it's very good, and you have nachas. But my son is a tzaddik, and a tzaddik means oymed in an son. Eishes Potifa, Yosef was Eishes Potifa, was a tzaddik. It's called a tzaddik. Who knew about it? No one. Everyone was out to work. Everyone was out at the fair, at the parade. There was some event. He was all alone. No one was with him. He was oymed bin Nisayon. And look what became of Yosef. That all the brachas ben paras Yosef, ben paras aliayin oliayin. That's what the pasuk says. That's the good reminder. The Kriya V'Chsiv, Goyel Yogol Avi Tzaddik.
To put into temporary words, if you write a letter to the FJJ of Musar of saying something good, it's better than getting a picture in the middle as a Oscar.
Okay, so this is a very frightening idea that you don't need very much. People, we're all very jealous. of all the successful people out there in the world who make the headlines. You know, we're jealous of their success, but the truth is, you can make an investment in your neshama by doing very simple things. And some of these simple things are Chazal tell us you have to have emunah, are a lot greater, have a lot more weight in the next world than all of the kavod and the honor and status and wealth that we worship in this world. That's what it says. Gol yogol. Only one that gets mobility is the Avit Tzadik. But the Yoilit Chacham, no, yismach ba. He has simcha. But it's not gonna get you're not gonna get you anywhere. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Yichof. Hey, this is pasuk we say. I guess the reason why we say this pasuk, now that we learn the pasukim inside, we understand why we say this pasuk at a bris milah. At a bris milah, yismach avicha v'imecha v'sogel yoladetecha. This is the pasuk that the one who has kriyas Hashem reads. Right, the one who kriyas Hashem, he says this pasuk. Why does he say this pasuk? Chayra, because this continues from pasuk Chav Dalid was the pasuk that we said refers to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the first person to have a bris milah b'zman. He was the first child to have a bris milah on the eighth day, and his name was Yitzchak. Also, the Elokim called Hashem Yitzchak Li, and that's we take the word Gila. Gila is a form of Tzichayk. So the pasuk here, Chav Dalid, refers to the birth of Yitzchak, and now we continue at a bris milah. Yismach avicha v'imecha v'sogel yoladetecha. May your father and mother, may they have joy, and the one who gave birth to you, may they have gila. Same, this pasuk notices. What?
Even if
it's shalom isman in a chanami, but it's all based upon the ikar bris milah.
Okay. The same
of course, right? Of course. Yeah. Okay. But generally, the nusach was established for the zman. Let's see. Pasuk afhei in the mitzudos yismach musaf al ha'amor lamala. The pasuk is going back according to the mitzudos, going back on pasuk chaf gimel, and it's saying that ms kine, a father is speaking to his child and he's advising him, you should acquire chokhmah. Loimar, to say hello, gil yogil ulzek, I will have great joy if you will succeed. Lezek kine ms v'yismach avicha. So similarly, what the mitzvah is saying is that it's an instruction. A person wants, the greatest thing a person can do in this world is to give his parents nachas. That's the greatest thing a person can ask. A person wants to give his parents nachas. What could he possibly do? The answer is kinei, ms kinei. If you will acquire ms, then yismach avicha v'imecha, according to the mitzvot, the pasuk is speaking to the child. Listen to what your father said. Do what he said. Follow his advice. Ms kinei. And thus, yismach avicha v'imecha, you will bring joy to your father, to your mother, v'sogel yiladetecha, repetition, poetic repetition, and the people that gave birth to you will have gila.
You can also say that your parents hopefully were alive at the birth, so there's no meaning of gilgul or yogel.
So you're asking another question.
So
you're asking
your tree, let's say. Yiladetecha doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. It means going way back.
Your ancestors.
They will go up in
Ali. Okay, they will go up. So, okay, you're asking a general question. Why is it reversed? I don't have a good answer. You notice that pasuk chav gimel and chav hey, chav dal and chav hey, the expressions are reversed. In pasuk chav dal, it says gil yogil avi, the father. We associate the word avicha with the word gil, and the word simcha with the word yoled. With the word yoled v'yoled chacham yismach bo. In this pasuk, it's just the opposite. When we take the word yoladetecha, the same word as yoled, we attach to it the word gila. And in the previous pasuk, where it says gila in reference to the word avicha, here we take the other word and we connect to the word simcha. So why is this pasuk reversed? I don't have a good answer. The only simple answer is that you'll have every. I mean, it's one. This poetry, everything, you'll get alamilas. A father, if a person will fulfill the command of his father to acquire MS, he'll have the best of both worlds. He'll have gila and he'll have simcha. and Yolada Techa, whatever that kind of whatever word connotation that word has, also we will bring with it Gila and Simcha. Okay, Rashi does not give any interpretation. We finish with the Mitzudas, Yolada Techa, Hamalabdecha, the one that teaches you. According to Rashi, Mitzudas obviously is bothered why we have a new partner in creation. It's like the joke we said here many times, leave this class, do not come back until you bring your mother, or your father, or one of your parents. So isn't that what the pasuk here says? Yisnacha vicha vimecha, your father, your mother, v'sogel yiladetecha, and your parents will have joy. What? How are parents different than the mother and the father? Something here does not make sense. So the Mitzudas is bothered by this question, and he answers, Yiladetecha does not refer to a biological parent, it refers to a spiritual parent. Spiritual parent means the one that has taught you Torah. Yiladetecha means Hamlamdecha, Hamoylid, Chachma, Belibcha, the one that has brought forth, given birth to wisdom in your heart. Yiladetecha are your teachers. Now there is another interpretation. We know that in Chazal tell us there are three partners in Maaseh Bereishis. Ish, the Isha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The man provides the bones, all of the white material, whatever that may be, and the mother provides all of the red material. Or was it reversed? I think it's right. The mother provides the red material, the blood, the basar, the father is the bones and the sinews, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the neshama. Shloisha shudfin ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mother and father. Here, the Chazal connect that concept in Gemara to this pasuk. There is the father, the mother, that's your biological parents, and Yoladetecha is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the one that gave birth to your Nishama. Another interpretation, we associate Avicha to all the way around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem will have nachas from you. Imecha refers to your nation, the aim, Klali, shall have nachas from you. And v'sogel yiladetecha, your parents will have nachas from you. A person here is in this world to give nachas to Hashem, to Klali Shol, and to his parents. That's another interpretation of this, of the repetition, the three partners. Okay, t'na v'ni libcha. So it's interesting. The one last point is that at the Bris Milah, when we do say this pasuk, in addition to the explanation we've given before, that this pasuk is a continuation of the birth of Yitzchak, who was the first one to have a Bris Milah b'zman. It's also you're giving a bracha to the child that he should be a Talmud Chacham. Kesheim shnichnas lebris, ken yikanes letoira ulechupa ulemasim toivim. The first thing is Torah. That is the ikar, because the pasuk Yismach Avicha, as the Mitzudas tells us, is connected back to pasuk Chaf Gimel Emes Kinei. Acquire Emes. Be an honest person. It's a scary thing. Forget about the Chazal that Emes refers to Torah. Moish Emes, Vitarasa Emes, Yaakov is Ish Emes. Forget about that. Emes just means honesty. And what are we telling the child of the Bris Milah? We're begging you should be an honest person. Isn't that a shocking thing? The honesty. I heard a shir yesterday in the car. Someone was talking. He was talking about the sugya of Agunos. Men who don't give a get, they want to torture their wife. So he's saying you have to teach this concept to children in third grade. Maybe if you'll teach it to them in third grade, then you don't do something like that. You don't withhold a get. Maybe there wouldn't be so many agunos today. So he's saying you should teach it in third grade. In third grade. But here the pasuk is telling us with regard to honesty, not to make a chil Hashem, be caught, who knows, to be MS already when the child's 8 days old, he's saying to the child, Yismach halavai, Yismach avicha v'imecha v'sogel yiladetecha.
Elisha ben Avuah.
Yeah.
That at the bris,
he saw the father
not MS.
Right, the father, he's talking about the story of Elisha ben Avuah, that at the child's bris, the parents of Elisha ben Avuah was not a Talmud Chacham. He was a businessman, and he made a bris milah. And when he made good morning, how are you? And when he made a bris milah, the Rabbanon came to the bris milah, and they were sitting and learning, and there was a spiritual fire. And he thought that this fire would burn down his house. And he asked the Tanoim, what are you doing? You're burning down my house. So they said to him, do not worry, this is not a real fire, this is a spiritual fire. And Avui was so overwhelmed, he was so impressed with the Kavod HaTorah, He said, I want my child also to be a Talmud Chacham. Problem was, it was Shaloy L'Shem Shemayim. He was impressed by the Kovod. He was not impressed with the real thing. He was not sincere. And that's the seeds of why that planted the seed of why Elisha did not turn out to be 100%. He was 8 days old. So you see that the impression that you make upon a child when he's 8 days old, that can last a lifetime. So here as well.
Not to give Cholov, if you have to feed a baby.
Cholov Stam, to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, a wet nurse who's not Jewish. Okay, these are chumras. These are timtum halev. Yeah, but these are very extreme chumras. But at least you see over here, you're saying something very deep. You're saying over there, when it comes to a bris mila, already you're being mevakesh, you're being mispalel. This child, halavai, yismach avicha vimecha. You're only 8 days old, but halavai, that you should live a life where your parents will have joy. What kind of joy? Who? So if you don't know Mishle, you think, what kind of joy? Oh, you should be a good guy. You should make a lot of money and give a lot of money to tzedakah, and they'll honor you at all the local dinners. Maybe you'll be a doctor, a lawyer. You'll win a Nobel Prize. You'll do good things. And no, that's not what it says. The Pashup Shah and the Pasuk, according to the Mishle, when you're asking like this, you're giving a bracha to the child, when the one who gives the Kriyas Hashem says, Yismach Avicha, your parents, may they be zochot to have simcha, meaning, may you be an honest person. Emes kinei. May you acquire honesty. And that, on a deeper level, means Torah. Torah is emes, but on a very simple level, you should be an honest person. Shocking thing. You don't wait until he's 25 years old to tell him, take him to a seminar and teach him about ethics and teach him that, you know, maybe you should pay your taxes. Maybe it's a little bit too late when you're 25 years old. When he's 8 days old, that's already when it starts, even before third grade. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chaf Vav. Tina v'ni libcha li ve'einecha derachai titzorna. You have to switch those words. They have to switch the words of from the tzadi first. Titzorna means to guard. The pasuk here is telling you, is paraphrasing what we say in Kriya Shema twice a day. V'loisosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher atem zoinim achareihem. Twice a day we focus on the danger of our heart, following our heart's desires and following our eyes. The eyes see something. The person is not nizer in shmirah senayim. The eyes see something. He doesn't subconsciously. It has an effect upon him. His heart starts thinking. His lev is nimshach after what he has seen, and that causes him to go astray in various forms. So that's exactly what it says here. It's telling you over here, Tanovini Libikali, give me your heart. Give me your heart over to me, the Einecha, and your eyes, Derachai Titsarna, guard. Your eyes always shall guard my ways. Make sure your eyes do not see things that are not on the Derech, and that way your heart will be given over to me, referring to the ways of the Torah, the hadracha that the father is giving his child.
This is very, it's positive, it's not saying it negative. It says your eyes should look at
the right things.
It doesn't say, right. Don't look at the bad things.
The good things. I told you this story. There was the son I know very well. He complained to his child, brings home every day a sheet. And the parent has to sign, the child did not look at this, did not play video games too long, did not go on the internet, did not do this. So after a while, the parent already got sick of this, of signing every day what the child did not do. He went to the Rebbe and said to the Rebbe, maybe you should, instead of focusing on the negative, focus on the positive. I should sign every night that my son, he learned Mishnayos. My son, he said Kriya Shema. He looked at Gedolim pictures. You name it. Be creative. Whatever you want to do, what's this negativity? So you're saying very good. Over here it says, the Pasuk is telling you Shmira Seinayim, not in the negative form. It's telling you the positive form. The Einecha Derechai, you shall use your eyes to guard my Derech. It's not telling you, watch out, don't look at the wrong thing. Adarabba, use your eyes for something positive. So as I told you, what did the Rebbe say to the Mechanic? He said to them, you're right, but you should know in the Torah there are 365 lois ases, and there are only 248 positive commandments. So you see, the Torah says you have to be more careful what you don't do than what you do do. Now, I don't know if they were joking around a little bit, but there's something to that as well. Let's see the Mesudas Pasik Chof Vav. Tana Hochein Levavicha. Prepare your heart. Lehovin Amorai. To understand my words. The Oz. Then Einecha Derechai Titzarna. Your eyes will be guarded. Kitaskil. You will understand. Shu Derechai Yosher. That where the Torah is the correct way. According to the Mesudas, he's giving it a little bit of a twist. I told you really the Medrash. I already jumped ahead and told you the Medrash, that these two things, the eye and the heart. The Mesudas looks very simply that a person will apply his heart towards the Chachma. Mimelo, he doesn't have to worry. His eyes, he's not going to seek. He will not have the desire to seek forbidden pleasures. According to Chazal, it's just the opposite. It's not the heart. The first thing that you have to focus on are the eyes. The eyes see something, and that causes a subconscious stirring of the heart, a desire which may come out even a day or two later. Even many days later, something you've seen would enter through the eyes can cause the heart to be swayed in a bad way. But al derech pshat, the order is first the heart, learn Torah, and mimelo, you don't have to worry, your eyes mimelo will guard my ways. Okay, there is no Rashi. There is a Kri V'Chsiv. The Kri V'Chsiv, obviously, there's an obvious, I think I saw this in the article, but it's pretty obvious what the deeper meaning is. Yeah, you shall guard your eyes. Titzarna means to guard. Tzar means to guard, like a fortress. Nitzar l'shoncha. Very good. To guard your lips from evil. And the Kri and the Ksiv is tirotsna, to run. Rots. Have a rots kitzvi. Means to run. If a person sees something, the koyach of riyah is so powerful, it can cause his heart to run after the avera. So it's alluding that the eyes are a very delicate gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and unfortunately they're very sensitive, and a person has the Yetzirah for many things. It doesn't necessarily mean a rice, it means money, it means things which are not proper, and when you see something, that makes the ultimate impression. A picture is worth 1,000 words. You can be led astray, you can become addicted by seeing something that, just by seeing something that can create an addiction. If you read about it, nothing, you can read it, you can read books, encyclopedias about a certain subject, it will make a difference. But seeing something, that itself can bring a person to addiction. Yeah.
It says, Tani b'ni lipcha li, first the lay. I mean,
that's what the Mesudas says.
One of the ways to avoid the loisachma is to say, let's say the famous marshal with the princess.
Yeah.
No one's interested in the princess when you're never going to dream about it.
Yeah.
So if you put everything on a level that you understand that this is not my hasagas, I'm not in that world.
Yeah. Then the mailer, you won't have the answer.
You won't even see it.
You won't even see it. Okay. That's a pshat.
That's why if you see a Mechal Shabbos, it doesn't mean that. It means that you're
a Mechal Shabbos. Hashem is showing it to you. Okay, so that's really what the Mesudas is saying. The Mesudas thing is saying is that in order not to have any Yetzirah, you have to focus on the lathe.
Put a filter on your computer.
Put a filter on your heart. On your heart. Okay, on your head.
Heart.
Okay, now in addition to this, just as an extension of what we said before, the concept of running represents the idea of addiction. When you run, it means you're lost. You're addicted. You're addicted to something. And like we just said, that seeing the more you see something, the more it can lead to addiction. A mechanic once told me, they're very strict with the children, the little children with what they see and what they play, video games and internet. So he said to me, you think it's because if you see something that's neistic, it's going to ruin them, you know, ruchniest and neshama. He says, in the professional world, that's not the issue. So they'll see something that's not sneistic. Oh, it's going to be tamed in the neshama. All right, yeah, it's true. That's not what bothers the Rebbeim. It's the addiction. It's that for a young person, a child, when they see these things, they're so overwhelmed with what they see, they have to see more. They have to see more and more and more and more and more, and they very quickly become addicted to these type of things, whether it's games, whether it's certain types of websites or movies or television. It's the addiction. It's not the tumah. The average guy, yeshiva guy, kol guy, what's the problem? You can't let your kid watch television. Oh, because you're viewing it in your madrega. You're already an adult. So the addiction is not as much of a problem. The problem is more the tumah, the kedusha. It's not, how can you go sit and learn Torah when you've just you've watched a movie that's not clean? How can you do such a thing? It's the kedusha. For a child, it's not really the issue, because a child, they're not on a madrega of kedushim. They're children. So of course, you know, you want altaris hakodesh. No one's putting that aside. But there's a much more fundamental problem: is they can't deal with control, and something that is moshech es halev, they're overwhelmed. And then the next day, they're sitting in yeshiva, they're thinking about the next.
Bringing in guns to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Because the parents, the guns are playing around, they see the guns. They let them.
It's an addiction.
Guns.
I know that. That's guns. I'm talking about an addiction. We're talking about an addiction. That is what it says over here, rots. The concept of running, of being lahut, is a code, is the Chazal's term for addiction. And it says here, the addiction is related to the eyes. Something that you see brings on addiction. And the way to avoid addiction is just not to be in the wrong place in the wrong time.
So they don't have a problem listening to
it? I don't know. This is an idea. It was a very big, when he told this to me, it was a very big chiddush to me. When someone told this to me, a big machanach told this to me many years ago. And he told this to me, I was shocked, because I personally didn't look at it like that. I look back at my childhood, and I look back and look at other people, and I think, the reason why it's not a good thing to 3 hours a night of television is because you look back. Like I know, I look back now, and I once went online, I went to YouTube, and I looked at some television shows that I knew inside out. Gilligan's Island, The Brady Bunch. I knew these things. I knew every episode. I knew it by heart, bal peh. And I look at it now, I looked at it, and I said, wow, it's not sneistic. It's like really dirty. It's like really not, it's not clean. And you can't imagine now, like, I'm not tzadikul, but like, you know, like, wow, like, oh, you can't let today, this generation, like, you wouldn't, Lakewood, this wouldn't go off. You wouldn't let kids go and watch these things. So I didn't look at it as an addiction. I looked at it as a kedusha inyan, like so. When I was a kid, so he said to me, "You're making a big mistake. That's not the issue. That's also an issue. It's not to make light of that. The issue is when, like, with me, you watched one episode, you had to see the next episode and the next episode, and you had to know every single episode inside out and the whole story, the timeline, and everything, and all the details, all this behind the scenes, what was going on. That's an addiction." And that addiction prevents a student, a young person, from devoting himself to more important things. Oh, but he's seeing things that are not sneistic, and he's hearing language and concepts that are not Torahic concepts. That's a problem, but that's not the primary problem. That can be cleansed later in life to some degree. But the ikar problem is the addiction. And addiction is roitz, tarotzna, you will run. Don't read tarotzna, rather read it titzarna. You have to protect yourself not to become addicted to something. It's a slippery slope that is very, very hard to get out of.
I'm just curious. This Kriya, you're addressing two letters usually.
Yeah.
Is that unusual? Can you address letters like that?
And they're all different types. I don't know if it's unusual. All different types of kriv chsivs. They're all the missing letters, extra letters.
But even if it's not a kriv, it's transposing letter for a purpose of
Rabbanan, that's not in the Gemara. But here it's in the Pasuk itself. It's a Krivel in the Pasuk itself. So it is a little bit unusual. Yeah, I don't recall it that often, but it's definitely. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chof Zayin, which really continues in this theme of V'loisasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asheratem zoinim achareihem. We now go into Znus. It goes into the concept of a Zona. This was really going back to the beginning of the Sefer, where Shlomo devoted like 2-3 prokim to the concept of Znus, and Znus of going had the same old machlekes. Rashi and the Mitzvahs, are we discussing a zona mamish, a harlot, or are we discussing apikorsis, minus apikorsis, avodah zarah? It was, according to Rashi, it was always symbolic of apikorsis. So here's the same exact thing. Ki, shucha amuka zona, if you're not going to guard your heart, and you're not going to guard your eyes, v'lo sasur achorei levav v'achorei nechem, you're going to come, asheratem zoinim, you're going to come to a zona. And the zona, when you go into her home, and you go into her world, you're going down to Gehenim, and it's not easy to get out of Gehenim. Ki shucha amuka zona. A zona is a deep pit. Uve eretz sara nachuya. This is a poetic repetition. A nachuya means a strange woman. According to some of the farshim, this means not a zona. This means a man that's not your wife. And the article, he says, there are three. This, you can break this down into three interpretations. Some learn it means, you know, like charedi. Any woman that's not your wife, you're not allowed to look at. Even your wife, who says, okay, your wife, any woman. Nachriya means a strange woman. You can't look at anyone. Some say just means a non-relative. And then others say, no, it just means an ashes ish. You can talk to other women. You can deal with women. Just don't have dealings with a woman that's already taken. An ashes ish, yeah. 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 A mishta, yeah.
You should glance at her.
The shivas yimei hamishta chiba. Kale no vechasuda. Kale no.
This is the last time you're looking at me.
Kale no vechasuda. Simchas chos, even in other avelus, during avelus.
You're not the husband. You're allowed to look at the woman, so the husband should appreciate. Oh, it must be
the guests are supposed to look at the kala in order if everyone is saying ooh la la, ooh, what a beautiful kala. Right. So the chasam say, oh, if people say it's a beautiful kala, I should convince myself. It must be. If they say she cooks well, it must be so. I have to agree. What Basil says,
you can exaggerate.
Okay.
So Shlomo HaMelech,
yeah.
Through this Nisoyen, he married a...
Shlomo HaMelech, he married a...
He went after, so you have to learn...
He has experience. He speaks from experience. Kishuchamu ka zona. A zona is a deep pit. Uve eretz sara nachuya. A nachuya means, let's say it means an eshes ish. An eshes ish is even worse than a zona. A zona is an avera. It's a one-time avera. So it's called a deep pit. But a be'er tsara means a pit that has a narrow top.
It also is the same reish sadik that tirtzena becomes an addiction.
Yeah.
Be'er tsara nachriya, a yeshus ish becomes an addiction.
It becomes a tsara. It's a play on the words.
Get out of it.
You can't write. That's the point. It tsara means gehenim. It's a one way street. You go in, and there's no going out. The way you go down, it's very wide at the bottom. That's why it's called the Be'er Tzara. It's wide at the bottom, but it's narrow on the top. And the reason why it's on the top, really, according to the word, is in order to preserve its heat. A pressure cooker. If it was wide on top, the heat would escape. When it's nice and tight on top, this heat's not going anywhere. It's nice and hot, toasty, and a lot of smoke. And that's how the Medrash interprets the Be'er Tzara. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk of Zayin. Pasam ki shucha ratzolama ki be'imrei be'imorai. Shlomo says, through following my words, tovin you will understand shazoinohu kibor amok. A zon is a deep pit. Shekosha me'ud la'alos mimen. It's very difficult to pull your way out of this situation. Ki kein koshali parib in a zon. It's very hard to separate from a zona. Ash'achar shenich shobo. After one has stumbled. V'nemar l'moshal al Haminus. So here the Mitzvah is very generous, and he told us Ayin Rashi. Rashi always says that the zone is a code for apikorsis. Once a person gets steeped in apikorsis, it's very hard to break away. Nochuyah, Here, this poetic repetition, Nachuya means a zone of Nachuya, Shalom, Mibinos, Israel. Heino, he, a zone that's not, I guess, according to the Mitzvot, he means that a zone means a Jewish zone. And then there's a zone that's a non-Jewish zone. So this is even worse. Hinehi kibe'er tsara udechuka. It's a pit that is narrow and pressed, that's confined. She'i efsha lehisapich ba mitzad el tzad. Lehischachem la'alois mimena, to escape from.
Does that mean you can't do tshuva? A person can't do tshuva always.
You can, of course, you can do tshuva, but it means it's not easy. It's not easy. Look, book chazima. What goes on out there? It's not easy. The person that's mired in chait, it's very, very hard to pull out of. You can do tshuva, of course you can do tshuva, but it's eif shel savich ba mitzad el tzad l'hischachem la'alis mena, to become wise, to lift yourself out of this difficult situation. Okay, I already told you the Yerushalm, I just read these words, the Yerushalm, the Shishavera, Liba ve'ena trei sarsurin d'cheta. The Yerushalmi says the heart and the eyes are two officers of chet. The heart, the eyes see, the heart desires. So okay, really we did that. Okay, this pasuk refers to Gehenim, and Gehenim here is called here this very frightening expression, a shucha amuka and a be'er. So there are many Gehenim, has many words, many different terms. If you collect all the terms of Gehenim in Chazal, it's very disturbing. All different types of Gehenim. There's not one size fits all. Many different types of Gehenim. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Af hi, she, ki chesef te'eroiv. A zona lays an ambush to capture you suddenly. The word ki chesef is an unusual word. It means pisaim, with suddenness. Eroiv means to lay in wait, ambush. But it's not just ambush, it's an ambush where they come upon you suddenly. A person that is nichshol in arayos, he will be trapped in arayos. The zona will lay in wait to capture him suddenly, ki chesef, and with suddenness to arrive, she will lay in ambush, uvogdim ba'adam tosef, and this zona adds among humanity. Adam here should be interpreted in the plural. Among humanity, she adds, Tosif adds, bogdim, sinners, people who have done averos. Women involved in this profession are a churban for mankind. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk chaf ches. Af ki eina mibinos Yisrael, even though this woman, continuing from the tsara nachriya, according to the mitzudos, nachriya means a zona that is non-Jewish. Even though she's not from the mibinos Yisrael, ve'eina regilo kol kach im hayudim, she does not have access to the Jewish people. Mikol makom, don't let your guard down. Kasher tuchal lachtoif mi mehem, when this zona has an opportunity to snatch one member of Klal Yisrael, Oz, she will take advantage. Te'eroiv, Olav, she will lay in ambush. V'alidei pituya, and through her sweet talk, persuasion, Hayleches u'maysefes boidim bibnei adam, she adds sinners among people, among humanity, among Klal Yisrael. U'musav l'malo, l'amad, this pasuk is going back to the previous pasuk to tell us, kasher tovin kol zeh, when a person will apply himself, emes kenevi al tingo, when a person will apply himself to the words of Chacham and understand that the dangers that lurk out there, al yidei amora yedata sheinecha darkei titzurno, v'loi tikashol zeh, you shall know that it would be a good idea to guard your eyes and not to be nichshol in the dangers that are out there. Okay, Rashi says the translation of the word af hi ki chesef. This means pisom. This means suddenly. We have this idea. Where do we find this idea? The Medrash says vavadetem. We say this in Kriyat Shema. Vavadetem mehera. You will be destroyed swiftly. A person does not v'haya im v'mlois tishmul mitzvah sayash anochim mitzvah eschem hayom li'ahavah shem l'chichem u'liyav l'b'chol l'v'av l'b'chol nafshchem. If you're not going to listen, then the pasuk goes on to say, "Vavadetem mehera me'al haaretz hatayva." It will come upon you quickly. One thing leads to another, and then the punishment is pisam. And the medrash ties this vavadetem mehera to the word here kichesef, which also means a swift punishment. Another medrash, the pasuk tells the uvoigdim ba'adam tosif. This alludes to a person that's nichshon l'arayis will suffer from the toichecha. Teicha in Chumash by Yikra in Parashas Bichu Kosai, because one of the major motifs of the Teichacha is the words of the Im Ad Eila Lo Sishmu Uli V'yosafti Aleichem Aka. I will add. He keeps on saying this. I'm going to punish you. And if you don't get the message, V'yosafti, I'm going to add more. It will continuously build. So since this expression, this theme, this concept of adding is common, is essential, runs through the entire Teichacha, and here in this pasuk we're dealing with a person that's nichshol in terrible averos, and here's the words uvogdim ba'adam tosif. We apply the two, we connect the dots, and it's telling us that a person is going to suffer from the Teichacha if he does not take care of himself. Okay, one last idea with this pasuk is dealing with the Isra of Arayos, and anytime you deal with Isra of Arayos, you have to trace it back to the mother of all Isra of Arayos. And that is to be found in the Aseres Hadibros. Lo tin off. Don't commit adultery. Tin off. The word tin off comes from the word af, anger. And the word af, The word af refers to the malach. It's a nutrikin. Tof nun is tehaneh. According to the medrash, the very interesting medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, tin off, we break up into two words. Tof nun, that's one word. And the second word is aleph pei, is af. Tof nun stands for tehaneh. The primary syllables of enjoyment is the tof, te, ha, ne. The he is a soft syllable. The nun, te, ha, ne. Af is anger. Af is a code for the malach hamavis, for the satan. Don't give joy and pleasure to the malach hamavis. Don't. Af is the malach hamavis. Af is a code for the malach hamavis according to the medrash. Lo, te, ha, ne. The Malach HaMavis, af. Don't give him parnasa. It's not your problem. When the Malach HaMavis comes making a collection, it's not your problem to give him a donation. How does one give pleasure to the Malach HaMavis? There's one avera that's like giving him a lottery ticket, a winning ticket. Arayos. Gili Arayos. Gili Arayos, Tinof, is giving the Malach HaMavis a million. A collector comes, he expects to give a dollar, and you give him $1,000, he won't know what to do with himself. Guy comes to your house on Friday, right? These collectors, they come, give him $1,000. He won't know what to do with himself, out of his mind. If you give the Malach HaMavis, he's also coming for collections. Give him some pleasure. Tehone af. Let the af have some hano in this world. Do a little avera. So, you little ashtara. Talk during davening. You know, you don't. The kashrus is not 100%. No, but when Gili Arayos, oh, it's like he gave him $1,000,000. It's the hane af. And that's what it says over here. Af he. That's what the medrash alludes to in this pasuk. Af he. Af. That's why it says af is alludes to the malach. The pasuk begins pasuk chafres. Af he, meaning the malach hamavis, which is the af. It's chalishing for this type of pleasure. It is lurking in the background to suddenly chap, to attack a person that's vulnerable to arayos. He should be nichshol, so it will cash in big time. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, now this is really going off the topic, is that when a man is nichshol with an eshes ish, and then the husband finds out, it's not going to be good. There's going to be a lot of anger. There's going to be revenge. There's going to be revenge. So lo tinof, the reason why adultery in the Aseres Hadibros is called tinof is because it titain. Tinof, I don't know, t titain. The word titain has three letters. Tof, tof, nun. Two of those three letters are tof and nun. Tin is short for titain. We skip the middle letter. Don't bring into this world af. Tin off. Who's the af? The husband. When he finds out what happened, he will get very angry and he will take revenge, and that will lead to countermeasures. And so on.
What if it's the husband's fault?
All right, but no one's innocent in these matters. So that's another interpretation, and that again alludes to here, af he, af here. Anytime you have the word af in a pasuk, that's a code that we're dealing with Gilui Arayos, because lotinaf, according to the Medrash, is either the satam, and it's part of the expression of tinaf. Okay, it's used in different ways, but in this context, it fits in perfectly because here we're dealing with Arayos, and tinaf is Arayos, and af is the common thread that goes between these two ideas. There are other interpretations, of course, the Ani and Panuta. All right, we will stop here.